I think this is a subject that everybody is interested in, and that's the end times. I think if you were to ask most people what they want to know about the Bible, they want to know about Revelation. I have over and over again people asking me to teach Revelation. I've done so. I teach it every 3 years in the Bible college. I've taught it in Sunday school, and I've done Sunday night class, church taught it, and it's something that everybody continues to want more and more of. I got to get a pair of glasses because I'm blind. Hey, it's bad getting old. I'll just tell you all, right? But in Luke chapter number 14, if you're there, I want you to say amen. Amen. This is a great supper. This is the parable of the great supper. Christ had been invited to a Pharisee's house to eat. And of course, they invite him over to the house, and there is a man, which I believe to be a prop or a plant, if you will, and he is has the disease of dropsy. And the Pharisee invites Jesus over to his house on the Sabbath day. So you know how that's going to go, right? Jesus is going to heal the man on the Sabbath day, and then they're going to have a problem with Jesus healing somebody on the Sabbath day. So it was a setup from the start. And Jesus takes the opportunity and he heals the man in the first part of chapter number 14. He heals the man of dropsy and he tells them, he said, which one of you that had a donkey or had an oxen that was in the ditch wouldn't go and pull him out of the ditch? Wouldn't go get him out of the ditch if he fell in the ditch on the Sabbath. And so he, at one point, at the very beginning, he gets on to all the Pharisees. Then he gets on to the man of the house. And he gets on to those that are at the house. The ones that are at the house, he says, why is it that you get in the choice seats or the best seats? He said, if you were right and doing things right, you'd get in the lesser seats unless you were called to the seats of honor. But they fought over who got to sit in the seat of honor. Then he goes on to the man of the house and he says, why is it that you only invite people over to the house that can repay the favor? He says, I notice you don't invite anybody over that is lame or that is hurting or that can't afford to pay you back. So the only people that you invite to your suppers are people that can do something for you. I need somebody to say amen right here. God knows exactly. We ain't even got to tip our hand and he knows exactly where our heart's at. But there was one guy in there, and how many of you know there's always one in the congregation that has to say something, right, Brother Jim? There's always one. There's always that one guy, right? There's always that one dude, no matter how bad it gets. I mean, Jesus is just waylaying them, dealing with them left and right, and this one guy, Brother Scott, just one guy in the church, just this one guy, he can't help himself. Verse number 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Oh, he thought he was doing something right here. He says, blessed is the man that sits in the kingdom of God, going to eat bread up there in the kingdom of God. Jesus, when he heard it, is everybody all right? Jesus answered him, verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. First said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I got married, man. I ain't coming. Now, I can understand that dude. Is everybody all right? First one bought land without looking at it. He's dumb. The second one, he bought oxen without proving them. He's dumb. But the third one said, I got married. I'm sure Jesus said, hey, I understand. Hey, y'all stay with me, all right? He says, verse number 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, to us, to the average reader, that's like, hey, we get the point of that. We understand that. But to the dude that said, hey, blessed are they that's going to eat up there in the kingdom of God, Jesus just got all in his grits. Because as far as he was concerned, the only people that was going to be up there eating at that marriage supper was going to be the Jews. So Jesus gave him a parable, and the parable basically said this, you that think you're going to be there aren't. Yeah, is everybody all right? You that have this idea that you're the only ones that's going to be there, you probably aren't going to be there. Because the supper was initially, the invite went out to the Jews, but they rejected. And let me say this, they rejected in the same way that we do. They rejected, and one of them said, I got land, and I have to go see it. We reject Christ because of our possession, our material gain, and how we like to continue to strive to be better, or to have more. The next one said, well, I can't go because I bought these oxen, and I got to go prove them. Now, it was dumb enough that he bought oxen without proving them. That's like buying a car and not checking to see if it ran. Is everybody all right? But here, this same thought is this, there'll be many a person that ain't got time for Jesus and ain't got time for salvation because they're too busy working. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Don't get quiet on me. We got the same excuses. We can take it over. I mean, it's 2,000 years later, but the excuses are still the same. Material things keep us from the Lord. Work keeps us from the Lord. And then the last one, man said, I got married, man. I ain't even going to be there. He didn't even say, please excuse me. He said, hey, you understand. You know how it is. Is everybody all right? Let me say it in these terms. Family. Natural affection. I got a boyfriend. I got a girlfriend. Is everybody all right? These things seem to keep us from God. But I don't want to miss this because the man started this whole thought off referring in verse number 15, I believe it was. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, the eating bread in the kingdom of God was a reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I want us to go over, hold your place in Luke chapter number. We ain't got to hold your place, but if you want to, hold your place in Luke chapter number 14 and go over with me to Revelation chapter number 19, where we'll see the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place in chapter number 19 after four alleluias. The Bible records alleluias in Revelation chapter number 19. These are the only time in the New Testament that the word alleluia or hallelujah is used in the New Testament. And it is found right here in Revelation chapter number 19. There's four alleluias. Those four alleluias come at a specific time. And that is when Christ overthrows the social and economical and religious system of the entire world. Upon him doing that, then the four alleluias sound off, and they issue in the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place right before the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Upon the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth will be the battle of Armageddon. But yet the battle of Armageddon ain't a battle, it is a war. And at that time, Christ will annihilate what is left of human government on this earth in one specific place, the Bible tells us, in Armageddon, which basically means the Mount of Megiddo. If you'll remember from my trip to Israel, you'll remember I showed you pictures of the city of Megiddo. The city of Megiddo is situated right in the middle of the valley. And this is the specific place where this battle will take place. Just a little bit of an idea for you. There will be approximately 400 million people that will show up for this battle. Now, to keep that in terms that you and I can understand, that's more people than is in the entire United States of America is going to show up in that one valley, and they are going to fight against God. Now, don't let that be far-fetched from your imagination, because man has been fighting God from the beginning of time, and it's just going to get worse and worse. As we look at this, I want to go back and get us caught up in eschatology as to where we're at before the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just for anybody that might think that they may just go on through this and wait it out and see how things become. This is what you need to know about eschatology. If you're not saved, you need to be. If you are saved, somebody shout amen. We ain't gonna be there. Hallelujah. All right, but here's what you need to know about that. Everything in this Bible prophetically has been fulfilled. The next great event that you and I are waiting on is called the rapture. It's not called the rapture in your Bible. It simply says that we are caught away in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 at the voice of an archangel. It is then backed up in Revelation chapter number 4 when John looks up into heaven and a door is opened up in heaven. By the way, that door, Jesus said, I am the door. That door was Jesus Christ that John seen. And John said he looked up into heaven and a door was opened up into heaven and he was in the spirit. Called up by the voice of a trump. I need somebody to say amen. He was given the same exact reference that what Paul was writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And you do not hear or do not see the church anymore in the book of Revelation until chapter number 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What has taken place during that time for those that are saved is we are at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. We are there for a period of 7 years and we are given an account for our lives after we got saved, for our works for Christ. Those things that are gold, silver, and precious stone, they will survive the fire or the judgment of God. And those works that we have done that are wood, hay, and stubble, they will be burnt up. However, I need somebody to say amen right here. There is not one possibility, no way in the world that you can go to hell if you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, because you are covered by the blood. You will give an account for what you've done, but you'll also give back crowns that you have received from the work that you have done. But during that 7 years that while we're up there in heaven and we're going through the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ, there's some interesting things that'll be going on earth. Now I want to tell you this because I think this is very interesting. You have 22 chapters in the book of Revelation and you see chapter number 1, 2, and 3 deals with the church. Chapter number 4, the church is raptured out. Chapter number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 all deals with a 7-year period. Wow. Wow. We deal with the whole history of the church in the first 3 chapters, and then we take how many chapters? From 5 all the way to 19 to deal with 7 years. Must be some important things that go on in that 7 years. Matter of fact, let me just say this. If you're saved, you ain't got to worry about these 7 years. I need somebody to say amen. But if you're not, I just want to help you out some and let you know what you're in for. But see, the rapture could take place this morning. The 7 years could start today. And if the 7 years was to start today, if the rapture was to take place before we got out of church, this is what would start this chain of events for the next 7 years. They'd be one that was revealed. He was the Antichrist. Everybody all right? Y'all posting all kind of stuff on Facebook talking about, I know, I read my Bible, I know the end times, I know that the Antichrist will come before the rapture. Wrong! Somebody needs to read their Bible. The Antichrist does not come before the rapture. Matter of fact, the Antichrist will not be revealed until after the rapture. He's going to come in and he's going to clear up all the chaos that is going on. Can you imagine all the saved people that will be gone? People will be flying planes that are saved? Is everybody all right? People be driving cars, you'll think that they're just texting while they're driving, but they're going to be gone and they're going to be, is everybody all right? Some of y'all can't drive. I talked about that in Sunday school. God help us. If it's up to cars, we won't never know that Jesus came back because we'll be like, look at that idiot. I'm sorry, I'll go on. Let me move on. But he will not be revealed until after the rapture takes place. By the way, I'll say this, he is a resurrected person. He doesn't have to be born and raised up. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Come to Bible college and I'll teach you. Bible says he had a wound on his head unto death. Said he was and was not and yet is. That means he lived at one time and died and now he's back. I'll even tell you who I think it is. I think Jesus revealed who it is, but you'll have to come to Bible college for that. But he's going to show up at the very beginning, and he's going to cause everybody. He's going to have a smooth tongue. He's going to talk to everybody and have everybody convinced he's got it all under control, and he's bringing peace to the world. But God's not going to allow peace because in those 7 years, it's God's pouring out his wrath on this earth. And so the next judgment will come. The next seal will be open and a red horse will come. And that red horse takes peace from the world. Third seal is going to open up and a black horse is going to come. And that horse is going to bring in famine. And for a period of time, there will be famine on the earth. And we will only have 1/8 of the food supply. People will be paying all kind of money, everything they got, for a little bit of food, 1/8 of the food supply. We go on to the fourth seal, and there's a pale horse whose riders are death and hell. And at this time, 1/4 of the population of the world that is in existence at that time will be killed. Is everybody all right? I know it ain't a Joel Osteen message, but I'm working on it, all right? We're getting there. He wouldn't like this. Fourth seal, 1/4 of the population is going to die. Remember, this is the judgment of God on the earth. This is before the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm getting there. We see in Revelation 6, we see the fifth seal is the Old Testament martyrs. We see the sixth seal is great earthquakes and cosmic disturbances. We're going to have an interlude at this time, and then the seventh seal is going to be open and silence is going to be recorded in heaven. Matter of fact, this is the only time in the history of heaven that there'll be silence for the span of 30 minutes. And then God is going to pour out even more judgment. Then the trumpet judgments will begin. The first trumpet judgment, hail and fire mingled with blood. 1/3 of the trees and all the green grass of the earth will be burned up. I don't mean much for most of y'all, but to understand scientifically, all the oxygen is gonna, you're not gonna have the oxygen that you used to having because 1/3 of all the trees and all the green grasses are gonna be burned up. Second trumpet's gonna sound and a burning mountain is what it's called. I don't know if it's atomic or if it's a meteor, but it will affect 1/3 of the sea. And 1/3 of the animals of the sea, aquatic life, is going to die. That'll take place in the second trumpet. The third trumpet, the Bible says, fell a great star in Revelation chapter number 8, possibly a meteor. And 1/3 of the fresh water is going to be polluted and many men will die. Fourth trumpet, the day is shortened. The Bible says the sun, moon, and the stars are smitten. The Bible says after that there'll be 3 woe judgments as if that wasn't enough already. The 3 woe judgments that come, the first one, Satan releases demons from the bottomless pit, locusts that sting like a scorpion and bring torment to men. Here's the kicker to all that. men won't be able to die. The Bible says they'll wish to die and they won't be able to die. These demons, these little locusts that sting like scorpions will be released from the bottomless pit by none other than Satan himself. The sixth trumpet, four demonic angels are loosed and an army of 200 million is gathered, 1 mile wide, 87 miles long. So a mile wide from here to Tallahassee. Everybody all right? That is everybody. Listen to this. Y'all ready for this? At this point in time, half of the population of the U.S., or not the U.S., the world, half the population of the world will have died. And yet, they're still unrepentant. Listen, and we're only to the halfway point of the 7 years. We're only to the halfway point of the 7 years. Chaos is created in the first 3.5 where one rule, one government, one religious system, one economical system can come in and rule for the second half of the 7 years. And God will allow it. Why? Because this is punishment. This is the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. Is everybody with me? At this time, Satan will be allowed under the direction, or the Antichrist, let me say it this way, the Antichrist will be allowed under the direction of Satan to rule at that time. By his side will be the false prophet. They are referred to in the book of Revelation, Satan is referred to as a dragon. The Antichrist is the beast that came out of the sea, and the false prophet is the beast that came out of the earth. The Antichrist and the false prophet both will mimic the works of the Trinity. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The satanic Trinity is Satan, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The false prophet will mimic the Holy Spirit in his work and how he works, and the Antichrist will mimic Christ in him being and how he operates. But they're both going to have, they're going to set up, and they're going to rule for 3.5 years. At the end of that 3.5 years is when I told you that Christ will come, and Christ, he ain't coming to earth, but he will destroy the social, economical, and religious system of the world. He will defeat it. And the Bible, it is called, the system is called Babylon. And you'll hear it, and she's called a harlot in the Bible in Revelation chapter number 18. We come to Revelation chapter number 19, and the old boy all the way back in Luke chapter number 14 was referring to this moment. He says in chapter number 19, verse number 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth and her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants after her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, before I get to the marriage supper, is everybody all right? I want you to know at this point, there's been 4 hallelujahs, and heaven is rocking at this time. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the multitude, the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thunderings is going on. You think we worship crazy? You ought to wait till you get to heaven. I need somebody to say amen. I'm talking about everything's going to be shaken from the roar and from the thundering of people praising God, the angels praising God. We ain't even touched that yet. I need somebody to help me. We got to do better in that. We're going to have to get louder in our praising. We got to get ready for it. Somebody, you got to practice, right? Everybody practice right now and say, Amen!
Amen!
Amen. Amen. We're getting there. I like it. I like it. I felt a little something right there, all right? Now, we're getting there. We're getting there. All right, so all this is going on. Heaven is rejoicing. And then we come to verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That would be the church. Somebody say amen. Those that are saved, we are. The church is the bride of Christ. So she's made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now don't that sound familiar? Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. All right. I said all that. I ain't got time to preach it. Y'all ready? There's four great suppers in your Bible. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we just read. We have the great supper, which we read back in Luke, and we're going to get back to. We have the Lord's Supper, which we as believers partake of to identify and to remember Christ. But the battle of Armageddon is going to issue in another supper. Verse number 11 of chapter 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. That means, is everybody ready for it? That means this was God. A man, had a name written that no man knew but he himself. The only one could be God. It has to be God. But this is Jesus Christ. Is everybody, y'all ain't getting this, but I'm getting it, all right? Hey, this is Jesus Christ. This same one that they crucified. This same one that they said spoke blasphemy because he called himself the Son of God. He's coming back as God. The Bible says he was wearing many crowns. He left here with a crown of thorns, but he's coming back with many crowns. Why? Because he'll rule over it all. Is everybody with me? Bible says in verse number 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Y'all ever heard that before? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Bible tells us, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Everybody all right? That sounds just like the description that was just given of his bride. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're coming back with him. When he comes back the second time, we coming back on horses. Now, some of y'all, y'all going to have some problems because y'all can't ride horses. Everybody all right? But I get this question all the time. So, preacher, are we coming back to fight a battle? No. All right? Don't worry about it. You'd all be dead. All right? Hey, don't worry about it. We're not coming back to fight no battle. The Bible says that he will defeat them by the sword that he carries. And the sword that he carries comes out of his mouth. So, in other words, what is going to happen is Christ, the one who spoke it all into existence, the one that said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Or in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke out and said, let there be light. He'll say, be done with all these. All right, I don't know how it's going to go, but don't think for one minute Jesus is coming out with a sword, all right, and a keto. He ain't got to fight nobody. Is everybody all right? We're talking about one that spoke out of nothing. He spoke this entire world out of existence. He don't need a sword. Somebody help me. Y'all got to help me. Everybody got to help me right here. We ain't going any farther. He don't need a sword. He don't need a gun. The one that spoke and it was. He don't need any of that. And by the way, just so I help y'all, he don't need us either to come back to fight the battle with him. All right? We just the bride, and he's proud of us. I need somebody to say amen. I told Miss Michelle last night, we went out to eat, and I said, I want you to put on them good clothes, baby. Y'all all right? I put her on the back of the Harley and we went into town. I was showing off my bride. See, I'm practicing. We rode the horse last night. It was an iron horse, but we rode the horse last night. And my bride was with me. And we was adorned. All right, let me move on, all right? Y'all ain't got time for that. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, and that's why your marriage ain't where it's supposed to be. All right, now, Bible says in verse number 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Now, this is a reference back to Revelation chapter number 14, where the Bible says that he'll tread this winepress, and it'll squirt out the, it's saying that the blood will come out and it will be at the bridle of a horse. You have to go back to Revelation chapter number 14 to read all that, all right? I ain't got time to do it. Now, verse number 16. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, verse number 17. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." So four suppers. Everybody with me? I'm done. I promise you. Y'all got a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching. I hope y'all wrote all of it down. If not, go back and watch the Facebook. There's four main suppers. Four major suppers are going to take place. We looked at the marriage supper of the Lamb tonight, or this morning rather. We looked at the great supper of God in the supper of the great God. This supper, only lost people will be at this supper. This is at the Battle of Armageddon, when God comes back, when Christ comes and he kills and destroys every man that's on earth right there at the Battle of Armageddon. This is a call for all the birds of the entire earth to come and feast on the dead bodies. You don't want to be at that one. All right? We talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb. It takes place in heaven. This is where the bride of Christ, those that are saved, the church is joined with Christ forever, for an eternity. Judgment is over. From here on out, we will be with Christ throughout eternity, ruling with him. We're not ruling nobody. We're watching him rule. As I said, we just there for him to show off. Everybody with me? So what's this got to do with Luke chapter number 14? This supper in Luke chapter number 14, if you miss it, you won't be at any of the other suppers. Is everybody with me? You won't be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible says that the man prepared a supper, and he sent his servant to tell that the supper was ready. This is a picture of the Father sending the Son to tell the world that salvation has come. See, this supper is a supper of salvation. We see the supper of salvation in Luke chapter number 14. We see the Lord's Supper introduced to us in the Gospels, and then also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. It's the supper of identification. Then we see the marriage supper. It is the supper of consummation. And then the last supper, or the supper of the great God, it is the supper of annihilation. All I'm interested in this morning is the first one,
yes, sir.
Which we read from, and that's the supper of salvation.
Yes.
God has prepared a way for you to miss out on all that I told you was going to go on in Revelation chapter number 19 and before. Is everybody with me?
Right.
See, here's a thought. The thought is that I'm young, or I'm strong, or I'm healthy, and I don't have to worry about this thing until I get up older, till I get up in years. But the fact of the matter is that, oh, y'all jump. See these people right here? Y'all, what y'all jump for? Where was you going? Just that quick, you and I could be in eternity. Just that quick. The tribulation period could begin right here on earth. And if you reject salvation now,
you'll go through what I read about. If you make it through what I read about, chances are very good that you'll be a part. And by the way, I'll just say this, because most of y'all don't know this, but the United States of America is not anywhere found in eschatology. So I wouldn't count on it being here. He prepared a great supper. He sent out a servant to say, come. And one after another gave excuse after excuse. So the master said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. That's us. See, the Jews were the ones that were rejecting him. Then he come and he got the lame, the halt, all them. That was the Jews that they thought wasn't good enough. But then when he went out in the highways and the hedges, that's when he went for the Gentiles, and that was us. But this morning, we can do the same thing. We can reject him just as they did. We can reject him because of material things. We can reject him because of work. Too busy. Too busy. I ain't got time for it right now. We can reject him because we're too interested in earthly and worldly relationships. This morning, why not accept the invitation? No more excuses. The rapture could take place before we get back to our cars. Are you ready? What excuses have you been given up to this point? How about we get over the excuses and this morning we accept the invitation to the supper of salvation? Heads bowed with me and eyes closed. Say, preacher, who needs to be saved? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everyone, every person. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one person in here that by their own righteousness, by their own merit, can get into heaven. But thank God there was a Savior who came and died for you and I. That God of love that we talked about. The Bible says, but God commendeth. That means He proved. He demonstrated. God commendeth His love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I need somebody to hear me this morning. You can't get there on your own. You need a Savior. And a Savior was provided, but He wasn't just a man that came. It was the God of the universe who came and died for you, that you could have everlasting life. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, listen to me, everybody listening. If you were to die sitting in the seat you're in right now, or the rapture was to take place at this very moment, do you know whether you would go to heaven or hell? You say, preacher, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. This is what I want you to do for me. I want you to look right up at me. Just make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Preacher, I do not know that I'd go to heaven if I was to die right now. All I'm asking you to be honest. Anybody like that, be honest with the preacher this morning. Preacher, I'm not sure. Is there anybody like that? If you're in the balcony, just wave at me if you will. Is there anybody? Just make eye contact and you can put your head back down. Is there anybody like that? Thank you. You can put your head down. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I promise you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? There's been four that's looked up. Is there anybody else? Hey, I want you to get it right. I want you to get this thing settled. I told you I did September 28, 1997. I sat in a church, didn't want to be there. Come because somebody had asked me. Come because my wife wanted me to be there. That day, that God of love made Himself real to me. If I'd have died that day, I'd have went to hell. But that day, He loved me. Today, He loves you.
Is there anybody else? Be honest with this preacher. Four's looked up. Is there anybody that... Be honest with me. Say, preacher, I don't know. Anybody in the balcony, just lift your hand up where I can see it. Put it right back down. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this morning. Lord, it was a different message. It's not one that I normally preach, but Lord, considering what's going on in Israel and understanding, Lord, geography and how all of this is going to take place right there around that city of Jerusalem, Lord, I did my best to try to be led by You for this sermon. God, as we looked at these great suppers, Lord, there's a marriage supper that I'm looking forward to and that all the saved of earth is looking forward to, Lord. There's a great supper, Lord, that's a supper of devastation. But, Lord, this morning, this supper of salvation, God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that those that have looked up, Lord, we'll follow through and, Lord, get this thing settled before it's too late. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, if you looked up at me, I want you to do me a favor. It's just me looking. I want you to look back up at me, if you will. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you'll let me, I'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. If you'll let me do that, I'd love to be able to do that. It is your choice. But if you'll let me do that, I want you to get up and come right to where I'm at, and I'll help you this morning. Anybody like that, your choice, your decision. But I beg you to come. Anybody else? There's others. I show you from God's Word the same way I was showed. All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You this morning. God, I'm thankful. Lord, for our church, I'm thankful for our visitors this morning. God, it was good to be in church. Lord, it's good to go through Revelation every now and then and, Lord, be reminded of what we miss out on. Lord, see how heaven reacts. The rejoicing in heaven. The hallelujahs. The roar, the thunderings of praise. God, to know that one day I'll get to be a part of that. One day I'll be right in the middle of that. Oh, Lord, I look forward to it. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that You would continue to work in the lives and hearts of individuals that are here this morning. And God, I pray for a time in their life, just like in mine, September 28, 1997, where they can come to know You as a personal Savior and begin a relationship with You as I have. God, thank You for allowing us to come together this morning. Thank You for this country that we can meet together with religious freedom. God, I pray for countries that aren't able to do that. Lord, that the gospel will reach them. Lord, that they will read about the love of God. Lord, thank